enjoyed that. Tremendous. What a blessing. If you have your Bible this morning, let's turn to Ephesians 5, verse 8. And when I'd had my bulletin, but really hadn't noticed it till this morning, until I seen the cover, it talks about a light your world. And it has one of the verses on there that I'm going to use in my sermon this morning, because it's really about light and darkness. So I thought, well, that's meant to be. We must have the right text for today. Everything seems to be lining up that way. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. We ended our last sermon with Ephesians 5, 7. It said, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." And what it's talking about, the children of disobedience that we preached about a couple of weeks ago, it says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Now, Paul is going to kind of flesh that truth out. And that truth is contained also in 2 Corinthians 6:14. When the Bible says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness?" We're especially going to look at that light and darkness theme this morning. So, if you have your Bible, whatever device you might be looking at this morning, your phone, your tablet, whatever, let's go to Ephesians 5, 8 and read through verse 14. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit," and some translations translate that, "for the fruit of the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever it doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Let's pray. Father, this morning I just ask for your help as we look at this theme of light and darkness, and there's so much there. Really, there's an evangelistic tone to those final verses. God, if we are the right kind of light, we will bring others into the light. They too will escape the darkness. So God, I pray as we go forward, you'll just help us do just that. Bring people into the light. And Lord, I know you're capable of doing that even here today. We ask you to do it, God, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of great verses in the Bible that talk about light. I realized when I was working on this, I've got way too many verses here. You can just go into concordance and look under light, and you can just fill page after page after page. But I'm going to use several of those this morning. Most of those you have heard before. Our text says in verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For you were sometimes darkness." Now look at that closely. Doesn't say you were sometimes in darkness, but you were darkness. There's a big difference there. With all the things said about what we were before Christ, add darkness to it. We were that also. When you go back in our text, it says we were dead. We were without Christ. We were aliens. We were strangers. We had no hope. We were without God. We were far off. Now add darkness. I think it really drives home the darkness of sin. How depraved that we were when we were without Christ. We may in our own mind thought we were good, thought we were doing right, that everything was good as it could be. But really, we were in darkness. But something happened. "But now are ye light in the Lord." Something happened. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 tells us, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And here's what happened. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of God. We understand that. I pray that that's happened to every one of us here today. I pray that's happened to everyone that's under the sound of my voice, that has taken place, that we have been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. If not, it can. Now, when it happens, we are the children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you're all the children of light and children of the day. You're not of the night, nor of darkness. Look at that. We're no longer darkness. We're no longer in the darkness. We're no longer of the darkness. We're now children of light. He encourages, since we are children of light, to walk as children of light. To walk as children of light, we got to know who to follow. We got to follow the right person. The Bible tells us Jesus is light. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we're now walking in the light. For the first time maybe in our lives, we can finally see where we're going after we accepted Christ as our Savior. We see a clear path. We know the road we need to be on. We know the path we're going to make to eternal life. We're no longer in the darkness, no longer going to walk in the darkness. And that brings unity. Listen to 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The whole theme of Ephesians is unity. You see it coming out when we're all walking in the light together. There is unity. But really, the verse in our text takes it deeper. Just like we were darkness, it doesn't say we were in the light. He says, just like we were darkness, now we are light. It's more than in the light. Because you see, God Himself is light. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we heard of Him declaring you that God is light, and Him was no darkness at all. Jesus came as light. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And now we are light. Listen to Matthew 5:14-16, the verse that was on our bulletin today. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, COVID could have been that bushel that hit our light, but you didn't let that COVID do it. You didn't let that pandemic do it. You're still out sharing the gospel. You're sure being lights in our country and around the world. You're still letting your gospel light shine. The COVID has not taken our song, and the COVID has not taken our joy. The COVID has not taken the lightness out of our step, because you let your light shine. Continue to do it. Ultimate goal of us being light is to glorify God. What a goal that is. It says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we do everything we do, that God will get the glory. Again, it says, walk as children of light. You know, our position should dictate our behavior. When we're tempted, when those times, those gray areas come, no, I'm a child of light. I'm going to stay in the light. I'm not going to step off even where it's a little bit dim and a little bit hazy, a little bit foggy. I'm going to stay in the light. And children of light are the ones that really get things done. Children of light are the ones that really make a difference. Children of light are the ones that act and take action. We are light givers as well as light receivers. When we receive the light, we too are giving off the light. Y'all may have seen that as on TV, those LED lights you can get and replace a 60-watt bulb. Three of the things fold down. They got all these LED lights on them. Man, I had to have me one of them. Our garage is dim. Little 60-watt bulbs like a show. My little hunting building's dim. I bought me two of them, and you about have to wire sunglasses. Them things work, don't they, kitty? I mean, they'll just about blind you. That's not an advertising for that, but boy, they work. You talk about turning on the light. It's almost overwhelming. And that, really, that should be us. As children of light, we need to light a candle in the darkness, and more than the candle, we need to be one of them threefold LED lights that you see on TV. They'll just about blind you. I think that's what it means to be children of the light. It says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, or again, the fruit of light, that's really the context. Is it all goodness, righteousness, truth? The opposite of that would be evil, wickedness, and falsehood. That's what we were in darkness. But the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, truth. And I thought about these. They all reflect the character of God. And that's really what we're supposed to be doing. We're a reflection of Him. We need to reflect His character. And we're characters of light. The fruit of the light is going to be goodness, righteousness, truth. It's never too late for that. No matter when you're saved, no matter when you accept Christ, you from that point on cease to be darkness but are light. You know, nothing grows in darkness. I thought about that fruit theme there. In Alaska, the growing season is short. But during that time, there are at least 23 hours of daylight. Vegetables grow there to record size. And you cabbage farmers in our area enjoy this. There was a cabbage in Palmer, Alaska. It's the world record cabbage. 138 pounds and a quarter. What a cabbage. You know, I remember when I was farming, they always complained about them being too big. You know, I just like to pull up a load of them on, wouldn't you? You cabbage growers will appreciate that. Complain about too big. Let me show you this load I got on out here. See if you can get them in a 50-pound bag, you know, or a box. 138 pounds. But this shows you what can happen when there's light, when there's daylight. We're in the light of Jesus. I think we should do the same. Our fruit should be extreme. It should be large. It should be bigger than anybody else, especially those in the darkness. Because when you're in the light, it says it's going to be fruit. And I pray that our fruit is like that cabbage in Alaska. It is just a whopper. He goes on to verse 10. Proven what is acceptable or pleasing is a good translation there also unto the Lord. Proven what is acceptable or pleasing unto the Lord. To put it to the test, you try to discern what's right. Knowledge and obedience should run together, parallel, side by side. You know, as Christians, we are a thinking people. We live in a light where there's nothing to hide, everything out in the open. That makes sense when you think about it. If we are children of light, there's nothing we're keeping in a dark closet. There's nothing we're hiding, because ultimately you hide nothing from God. It says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable, pleasing unto the Lord. And He is pleased when our lives are an open book, when everything is out there for everybody to see. We are what we say we are. We say we're children of light, and my actions prove it. But we know it's not that way with everybody. Listen to Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, but put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. We know in our own lives there are people like that. And our heart breaks for them. And he goes goes on to verse 11, and the rest of this text I want to be real careful with. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them or expose them. I read, if a Christian is in fellowship with his Lord, his very life will be a reproof to the things of the world. It's true. If we're in fellowship with God, our lives will be a reproof to the things of the world. We will expose those things that are in darkness. Again, what is he talking about here when he says, have no fellowship? Is he talking about a COVID-19 quarantine? Are we to stay away and isolate ourselves? Read it carefully. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The works, not the person. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. When someone steps into darkness, we stay in the light. I thought about the story of the prodigal son. The father did not follow him into darkness, but stayed in the light. He watched from the light as his son faded into the darkness. Knew what was going to happen. Knew the road he was going down. His heart was broke. But his son was of age, and all he could do was stay in the light. But think about the end of that story. When his son, in a distance, stepped out of the darkness, there still stood his dad in the light where he could see him, where he had a place to come back to. And that's what we are to do. We don't isolate from the person. We isolate from the sin. Now, I don't know if that's the right analogy there, but that's what comes to mind about that father and his son. He chose to stay in the light and got to see his son come back to the light. I think that's what we're to do. It tells us it's the sin, not the person, that we're to step away from. That many times that person in sin needs us more now than ever. He goes on to say, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Really, as I said before, these verses are evangelistic verses. Our heart is broke for those that step out into darkness. No doubt the father, the prodigal son, was heartbroken when he watched that son of his that he'd raised and did right by step into darkness. We realize, folks, that do that are in jeopardy. If they do not know the Lord, they're in jeopardy of outer darkness. The Bible says in Matthew 8:12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And no doubt the father of the prodigal son knew that was a possibility. So he had to stay in the light. And that's what we're to do. Because the end of verse 13, it says, but all things that are reproved or exposed are made manifest by the light. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We hear a lot about exposing evil. You know, evil being brought out in the open. And when it usually does that, there's a reaction from the person. When it's brought out in the open, typically it stops. That's why I think some folks stay away from church at times. Don't want their sins exposed. Don't want them out in the open. But really, that's the best thing that can happen to them. Because typically when you're caught and things aren't open, that's the only time you'll stop. We don't hide anything from God. We need to realize that. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him of whom we have to do. Here is the evangelistic part of verse 13. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It means what happens to you can happen to them. If you're now in light, you can expose their darkness. And that darkness can come to light. That should always be our goal. I want to go back and read verses 11 through 13 because I want you to see that something happened between verse 12 and verse 13. There's a contrast. Verse 12 says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." But that's a contrast word. A change is taking place. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Those things that were reproved because of the right reaction, now they are light. That's the evangelistic portion of that. We being light, not hiding our light under a bushel, exposes darkness, and our ultimate goal is that darkness would become light. That's what we're to do. That's why we got to let our light shine. The contrast there is someone was saved because their sin was exposed, and someone loved them enough, like the father of the prodigal son, that they stayed in the light for that prodigal, that he could come back and spend his light in the light. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake then that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Remember, Christ is the morning star, and he shall shine on you and all those that are in the light. Christ rescues us from sleep and death and darkness, it talks about there. This morning, the question I would ask us all, are we asleep today? Are you dead in your sins today? Are you in darkness today? If you are, you need not stay there. For the backslidden sinner, we've been rescued out of darkness. Why would we go back to darkness when we've been delivered? Colossians 1:13 says, "Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us in the kingdom of his dear son." We've been delivered. Let's live like it. If you are or have been rescued from sleep, death, and darkness, you will enjoy the light of heaven one day. Man, now you can really do a study on the light of heaven. I just scratched the surface a little bit. God's glory from the very beginning with Moses throughout the Bible has always been associated with light. Listen in heaven one day, Revelation 21. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." No more night. No more darkness. His glory, the Lamb's light, illuminates all of heaven. Oh, that should get us excited today. The light of the Lamb of God overwhelms heaven to the point that the Bible says there's no more night. Think about that. Yet, I think our goal while we're here is to keep being the light. You know, I started the sermon with 2 Corinthians 6:14. I said, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what darkness have righteousness with, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness." I want to finish that text or that thought. If we look at verse 15 through 7:1. "And what concord have Christ with Baal, or what part of he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Come out from among them and step into the light. That call goes out today. I want to end with a verse that's not on the screen, just as I continue to study these verses after I give them the scriptures. I was reading this in Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this text. God, I pray, Lord, it spoke to hearts. God, if we're tempted any time to step back into darkness, or if we've never left the darkness to start with, Lord, today will be a day that we're coming to the light. God, your light has never dimmed. Your light has never went out. Like the father of the prodigal son, you've left your light on for us through your son, Jesus Christ. There's always a way home. God, I pray you speak to that heart that's furthest from you today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are listening today and God has spoke to your heart, we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to just bow right where you are, get on your knees, bow your head, just like Opal Horton did almost 20 years ago. And now she's in heaven. Just say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me my sins and save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. And you mean that from your heart? You're in the light. And you'll be in the light of heaven forever. Do it today. Kitty Leaks.
Let's sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Thou art the potter.
thank y'all so much for your attention today. Looking forward to next Sunday. Finally start back in-person worship again. Had to take a few weeks off there. But again, wherever your comfort level is, you just still abide by that. We're going to take still all the same safety protocols that we had before. We're not going to let our guard down. But we pray that this will be just encouraging everybody. I got one little guy's done called. He's done got him a three-piece suit. he's coming to church, so I'm gonna be excited to see him. So again, I pray you're excited. Things will get back to some semblance of normalcy, and we're excited about that also. Well, again, hope to see many of you next Sunday as we go back in person worship. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day and all those that make the service happen. God, we'll still be on our toes. We'll still be doing everything we can, Lord, to keep everybody safe. But we're excited that we can fellowship, God, and just be encouraged by one another. I know we're all missing that and all desire to do that again. Thank you for all those that make these services happen, fight through the difficulties that the gospel can go out. So, God, I pray, hedge of protection round about us. You be with us. Be with all those on the prior list, all this grieving loss. Be with Richard this week. He goes for surgery. And all the others, God, you just touch them, heal them, be with them. We will ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you for being with us today.